Amen. Amen. I'm going to walk back here, James, and I'm going to give you this microphone in case you want to inject any truth. No, just in case, man. You never know. So I'm going to bring it back here just in case.
James and Mike.
Right there if you need it. I've been trying to get James to come up here. He's like, just chill. You guys got it. I'll be all right.
Pastor Steve's secretly trying to get out of these questions this morning. All right. How we doing, guys? Good? All right. We are continuing in our series this morning called You Asked For It. And again, for any of you that are visiting this morning, this was simply, we left this series really up to our people. Really? All right. Let me wait. Say hi.
Perfect.
Awesome. All right. We left this sermon series up to our people. We really just encouraged them to ask the questions that they've wanted to ask. Maybe they've never been in an environment where they felt comfortable to ask these things. So we just said, go ahead and put anonymous questions in the box. You know, and Pastor Steve and I are going to go through those things and try to answer them the best that we can scripturally through looking at the Word. We had a real tough time kind of categorizing everything because questions were just kind of scattered all over the place. But today, this morning, we're taking on a tough topic, and we just kind of generalized this as a topic of sin, and I know we can go anywhere with that topic, but we really just felt these questions we could kind of relate together and just kind of talk through this morning. So the topic is sin, I'm just going to leave it at that. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, we just pray that you'd be with us this morning, be with Pastor Steve and I as we try our best to bring your truth to the forefront. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for the questions that we received, the honesty and sometimes the bluntness in the questions, Lord. I just pray that we can learn something this morning from this so we can just glorify you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the topic is sin, and we're going to start out with a couple semi-easier ones this morning.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the definition first.
The definition of sin. You want to go for it?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So we need to talk about what sin is if we're going to understand exactly what sin is, right? So sin, in the Bible, and again, we're deriving all of our information from the Word of God. Sin comes from a Greek word of harmotios, which is basically an archer's term. When I say archer, I mean archery, bow and arrow. You, Will, you got your bow, you ready? So hunters, you understand what that is. And so this Greek word back in the New Testament was a word that basically paints the idea of an archer in a competition. And we know the bullseye, you know, the target. And the idea here is the master archer is attempting to shoot his arrow into the bullseye, but the real definition for this word in the Greek is to miss the mark. So no matter how hard he practices, no matter how hard he tries, he always missed the mark. He cannot hit that mark into the center. It always veers away. And that's the idea of sin, us missing the mark of God. And I want to say this about sin. We all sin. The Bible's clear about that in reference to sin. There is no person on the face of this planet other than Jesus who has existed and or will ever exist who doesn't deal with this issue of sin. And so I just want us to make sure that we understand what sin is from a biblical standpoint, to miss the mark, okay?
That's good. And just to, again, to clarify, the target, again, is
God.
God's standard, right? And God's standard is perfection. And to spend an eternity in God, that's the standard we need to reach. But we learned that through this sin, through missing the mark, that we're really not capable of, in and amongst ourselves, in a relationship with God. And it's only through Jesus, who came here and lived that perfect life, that we can experience that relationship with God the Father.
Now we can hit the mark.
Yes.
With Jesus.
With Jesus, right. All right, so that's a good foundation. So the first couple questions are good. It kind of goes back to creation, and this is something we could have talked about in our creation topic, but Here we go. Ready? And the first question is, it says, if God knows all things, why would he create Adam and Eve knowing they'll sin? Why would he create us to sin? Why would he create us to sin? And I would simply say, he didn't create us to sin.
Man.
Right? He created us perfect. And by us, I mean original man, woman, Adam and Eve. He created us perfect. All things were good. And it was our human nature that walked away from him, right? Turned our back on him. So did he create us to sin? No, he didn't. He created us perfect. It was our free will, our choice to turn our back on him. And through that, sin entered the world. Does that make sense?
Right.
So through that, turning our backs on God, sin entered the world. So he knows all things. Why would he create Adam and Eve knowing they'll sin? Yes, he knows all things. He could foresee that Adam and Eve would turn their backs, but even at that time, he was preparing a way for man to come back to him. Even at that time, he knew that I'm going to have to do something to be able to bring man back to me. And that plan was to send his son Jesus to die for us so that we could be redeemed back to him. So he didn't create us to sin, but he knew, and therefore he had a plan to bring us back to him.
Yeah, everybody wants to put it in God's, blame God, right, James? It's God's fault. It's our fault. That's the problem. We have to understand that it's not God's fault. In the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27, listen to what the Word of God says. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. People come before animals. So God created man in his own image. Key words, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So I think, again, what Dave said answers the question. Yes, God knew that we would turn our backs on him. At the same time, free choice is necessary, because if not, we would just automatically choose him, and that's not really love. That's not, and so God, in the original, him creating men and women, there was no sin. It was perfect in the beginning, until we know the story of, the serpent creeping and tempting Eve, and so that's what happened with that. But yeah.
Good.
I don't think he's created us to sin. That's the answer.
I think he created us for a relationship with him.
Right.
And sin is what gets in the middle of that.
Right.
So until we take care of that sin in the middle, we're unable to have that relationship with him.
Right.
But again, from the very beginning, God had a plan to send his son Jesus so that that relationship could be restored between us.
You can see his plan too. When they sinned, Adam and Eve, they knew that they knew things they shouldn't know.
Yeah.
And it was their choice. And, God had a level playing field, and they chose to not do that. But you can see his redemption plan when they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, and that didn't cut it. So yeah. God actually slaughtered an animal and made them skins out of that. So that's picturing the future coming of Christ and his sacrifice to cover our sins. So I thought that was always a really, really super, super cool picture.
Right.
But also, we don't forget that we're looking through this through sinful eyes, that we look at what God does, and we try to say what's fair and what's not fair. And one thing I always point to about, man, hell is such a horrific thing, but so is sin. And therefore, the payment for that would be hell.
Yep.
But if you look at the story of the rich man who was in hell, and, he got that glimpse of, Christ, and he wanted somebody to go warn his brothers. He didn't say, hey, why am I in hell? Somebody save me. He said, hey, give me a drop of water and go warn my brothers. Because he knew at that point in time, things were revealed. That's where he belonged, because that was his nature. So we have to always be careful to tread lightly and not try to put things in what we think is fair. Because God is the ultimate artist. My wife used to get really ticked at me, and then I'll shut up after this. I would do a painting, and then I would hate it. I would totally tear it up. Or I'd do a drawing, and it just wouldn't turn out like I wanted. I would rip it up. And she'd get kind of upset about that. But if I'm the creator of it, I can pretty much do whatever I want
with
it. Yeah. Whether it seems fair to somebody else or not. That's kind of a cheap
that's
analogy.
Exactly right.
I'm probably in trouble now, but I'm going to shut up.
That's why I want James to speak.
Yeah.
Because that was
James,
the
James come
right
down
there.
Here. Come join us on the stage. Come on. People want to see you when you talk. Come on.
He ain't gonna get up.
We're asking you to.
He's right there. He's good. He ain't gonna get up.
All right.
We got a stool.
Come on, James.
We're not pushing. You're fine, dude.
All right. That's good. That takes care of that question. Okay. So next one, and this will be kind of a quick one. Again, with Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve did the sin, would all of us be related because of Adam and Eve? So would all of us be related? Again, I just kind of threw this in there to piggyback on the last question. So would all of us be related? I'd say, yeah. Okay, Adam and Eve, first man, first woman. So yes, I believe we all would be related. And I think what's really cool is that science nowadays, and I studied some of this when we did our creation versus evolution in the first beginning part of this series. I studied this, but it's really cool. Science nowadays is actually pointing to that very answer. You know, there's all these scientific studies going out there showing that the relatability from people that live on two different parts of the world, that they have a common ancestor. And all that is pointing right back to scripture. I know a lot of people in the world would say that points back to an evolutionary, point back into the tree of life, Darwin's tree of life and evolution. Again, I don't believe in that. We talked about that earlier. But I think it does point to scripture, that we all came from the same place, that we're all related. So that was just a bonus for this morning, okay? Takes care of that one. All right, now the fun ones come. This is a good one. You ready, Steve?
Sure.
You didn't wear the proper attire for this one. Uh-oh. Maybe we shouldn't go into the next question. All right. If that gives you too much trouble, James, just unplug it and we'll go. All right, now here's the fun one. Again, we're talking about sin, so we got some questions about what is sin, are these certain things sin? So this is where we're going to go. So is it okay for Christians to get tattoos? Dun, dun, dun. Number one biased answer coming from Pastor Steve. Right. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So is it okay for Christians to get tattoos? We have a couple tattoo artists in the building this morning, too, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Very talented guys. You want to take this one?
We can try.
Okay.
So, of course, I have tattoos, and I'm a pastor, so this is probably something I could answer. I don't know, man. You know, I think we can nitpick sometimes about what is sin and what is not sin. Somebody will say, here's the biblical passage that I've always heard in reference to you can't have tattoos, and it comes from the book of Leviticus. And so the book of Leviticus, you have to understand who it was to, why it was to, who it was to. It was the high priests back in the Old Testament times, which back then, you know, very serious, you know, very, there were high requirements in order to be, you know, this priest. And so the things that are mentioned in Leviticus are things that pertained to the requirements of the priesthood back in Old Testament times. And so if you look at those things, there's all kind of things. Don't defile, don't mark your body. But the idea here was secluded to these Old Testament priests, showing the importance and the power of God and our separation from Him. So in that sense, I don't think it doesn't fit context, so to speak. But then somebody's going to say, what about 1 Corinthians, where it says your body's a temple? You know, y'all know that verse. You know, your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you, so take care of your body. So here's the problem I have with that verse in reference to tattoos only. What about cholesterol? What about eating bad? What about not exercising? Aren't those all the same in reference to, you know, defiling the body? You know, if you don't cardio work out, then your heart's not going to be as best it can be. Is that a sin? So my concern about all this is, you know, remember what sin is. It's to miss the mark. And so, you know, oh, gosh. Billy?
Hey, Steve, it goes back to motive, too. If you look in the Old Testament, I think in Deuteronomy as well, it has to do with identifying. So there was temple priestesses or whatever that were cultic, and they would do all kinds of bizarre stuff to their body. And for an Israelite to do the same exact thing would be to identify with them. That's
right.
What was wrong.
Right.
But if your motive is not that, then right. I don't see what the issue is.
Right.
So I the Bible doesn't address every little teeny thing on the planet, but it does address principles. So
right.
I would look at motive. Because I know untattooed people that live like Satan,
yeah.
You know, and vice versa.
Right.
So
individual motive. I love what Billy says. Billy's got an idea, and you know, when Jesus comes back, the Bible says that he on his right thigh, was it his right thigh?
Yep.
Left thigh is written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Somebody says that's a tattoo. I don't know if it is or not, but if Jesus had a, you know,
sounds good to me.
Sounds good enough to
Steve,
me.
Steve, that's why I didn't want to go up on stage just in case.
You know, I don't know. I think it's based on the conviction that the Holy Spirit gives you. We live in a different culture. Tattoos don't mean the same thing that they meant back in Levitical times, you know. But at the same time, you know, I can see how it could be a stumbling block if, you know, if that's all you did was try to print your body and you got satisfaction out of that. Of course, you know, that doesn't give you true satisfaction.
That's good. Yeah, that's where I was going to go with where James went too. I think it's on a personal level, you know, for each person too. It's a thing of conscience. You should be able to maintain a pure conscience while if you're going to go ahead and do that and get
and
a tattoo.
Is it going to be a stumbling block for,
right.
Here's another problem that I sometimes face is we have to understand it's not always about us. What are other people going to perceive?
Right.
So, you know, if I do this to offend somebody, to stir the pot, that's probably not the right motive. If I do this because I don't have a problem with it, you know, it's not against my quote, you know, belief system, and you do it, you know, somebody's probably always going to get mad. You know, of course, I experience that all the time as a pastor who has tattoos. You know, all the pastors in our association look at me like I'm a weirdo because I've got tattoos, but that's okay. It makes me more beautiful. So
I
don't think it's a sin.
Actually, he makes you more beautiful.
Yeah, he makes, yeah.
He does.
That's my idea on that. You know, I think...
Cool.
You start splitting hairs when you start saying, you know, then you got to stop going to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Can't eat Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore either because it's got high cholesterol. I don't know.
Yeah, you go a million
we're
ways.
We're going to get some better questions
That's
here
good.
If you get ready.
Well, we're going to take a little right turn. This question wasn't in here, but it always comes up when we kind of get on these topics. And again, it's another sensitive one, and some of you may have heard or been taught things in the past, so we're just going to have an open mind as we go. But what about alcohol? Mm-hmm. Should a believer... Can a Christian drink alcohol? Let's tackle that one.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing, my opinion about that.
Let's say above legal age.
Well, of course.
To say that first.
Of course, we've got to obey legal. The laws of the land. You know, Paul, this is a big thing in the Christian community and the church because there's a fine line. And I believe, again, it's personal to each person. You know, based on what you've been through, where you are in your personal walk with God. And I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about people who don't have a relationship with Christ. But the Bible tells us this, to be drunk by and with the Spirit, not in excess with wine. And so I believe that the Bible teaches not the absence necessarily of alcohol to your lips. I've been taught on the left side, the crazy side, that as a pastor, you can't have any alcohol, not even a little thing of NyQuil, or else you're going to be struck down by God. And so that was just crazy to me. I was like, really? God's that concerned about? You know, and said, but remember what Paul told Timothy. Here's an important factor. Paul, a man of God, a pastor, told young Timothy, who was an apprentice of his, he said, take a little wine for your infirmities, meaning the stress of ministry, the stress of the times. Paul said, go ahead and take a little wine to help relax you, to help calm you down. Now, it didn't say chug 5 gallons of wine and act like a stupid fool. He said, you know, use it for the medical purpose that it's, you know, and there are medicinal purposes for alcohol. We understand that. So the problem is this, again, everybody's different. Everybody's convicted. In certain ways, there are some Christians that can go out and drink a beer socially, and they're not tempted to, you know, be a drunk in the gutter, neglecting their family. But
right.
There are other people that have had issues with alcohol, and they can't drink.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say biblically, I don't think it's wrong to drink, but I would say biblically, God does not and has not called us to be drunk. Does that make sense?
Right. That's good.
That's what I think.
No,
you know,
that's awesome. And again, I think it always comes back to the personal thing.
Right.
You know, I've known people that have told me, you know, we have a family history of alcoholism in my family, so I'm not even going to go there. Is it okay for me to have one drink? Sure, but I know my propensity and my fear is that if I do go that route, that it will go further and further. So it's on a personal level. And I'd also like to add again, not to be, you know, as mature believers, we have to, again, think outside of ourselves. If it's always about us and what we want to do and what I want, then that's not the way we're called to live. We're called to think of others. So again, if we're going to be a stumbling block to maybe a young believer who's in our presence and has maybe struggled in this area, would it be wise to go ahead and have a drink in front of them? It probably wouldn't be too wise. Would it be sinful? And I think we can kind of go this route too. Would it be sinful? Maybe not, but would it be wise? Probably not.
Paul talked about that.
And I think we can go that route with a lot of these questions. Is I think there's a big difference, and I think Scripture teaches a big difference between something that's wise and something that's sinful. You know, and we can go into, you know, our next little thing of, you know, should a Christian smoke cigarettes or anything like that? You know, again, it may not be sinful, but is it wise?
Right.
You know, so there's some things that may be unwise that are not sinful. Does that make sense?
One of the things I noticed here in New Jersey is a lot of people drink. Lots of people drink socially. Lots of people drink. Chrissy's been working a little bit, going into the houses. Everybody's got a whiskey bottle in their house. You know, I understand the times that we live in. And so one of the things that we learn coming up here down south, culturally, you know, it's not as, you know, people drink, but it's private. You know, down here we just don't care. Like, yeah, you know, I remember we had a youth event. One of our first families had us over and a group that was coming out here to help us start the church. And they had a fellowship meal with some drinks and some food, and we were bringing the group to the house. Teenagers and youth workers going to the house, and these people, you know, mean well, feeding, and here they come in, and there's wine and beers, and help yourself. And we had to run and make sure we told these, look, calm down. Now look, this is the culture that we live in. They're trying to be nice. We understand that you would look at them like, oh my gosh, they're drinking. So we have to understand, here's another thing. You can't, listen, sin is sin to God.
Right.
We have a tendency, myself included, to say this sin is worse than that sin. This sin isn't bad as that one. And so, but with God, he's far above us. He doesn't look at it that way. Like, sin is sin to God.
Missing the mark is missing the mark.
Right. It doesn't matter what we like to point out other people's sin. We like to point out people who don't sin like us. You know what I'm saying? So people in the church always want to say alcohol, 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 drug. But here's the thing, we have to not allow sin to prevent us from reaching to sinners. Does that make sense? You know, I think sometimes the church has looked at people and says, well, we can't touch them because they're so far away. Well, yeah, they're far away. They don't know God. You know, what do you expect? And I think a lot of times the church has, because of the quote, this sin is worse than this sin, has bypassed a lot of opportunity to reach people that are hurting in reference to that. So
that's good. That's awesome. All right, we'll go into probably our last one here. And this is a good one. You know, this is a tough topic, can be divisive at times. But the question was asked, so we're not afraid to go ahead and speak on it. It says, what are some verses that support that homosexuality is a sin? Okay?
All right.
Yeah.
I got some verses.
Do you want to go on this one?
Sure. Well, first of all, let's just talk about the Old Testament. Sodom and Gomorrah, we know that story, right? God kind of looked at the condition of the world. It lists all these things that were going on. He kind of mentions it, refers back to it in Romans chapter 1. Mm-hmm. And listen to what he says. He's talking about, and by the way, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah with Noah and the turning away, and you know, the second coming of Jesus, the Bible says those things will be evident again. That style of lifestyle will be promoted again, and I think that's where we're at today. But listen to what God says in Romans chapter 1 about, you know, the effects of sin on people. He starts in verse 18, but I want to go ahead and skip over to verse 26. And so he goes through this long list of people that are sinning and you know, professing to be wise, but they're fools, and they think they know, but they don't know. And he says this, for this reason, God, for the reason of them thinking they know it all, you know, not for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, we all understand what that means, we're mature, but burned in their lust for one another, meaning man and man, right? And it says, men and men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And so the idea right there is immorality. It continues to go down in verse 29. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceitfulness, evil-mindedness, and even whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Where are my kids at? Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So, you know, I see the idea of, you know, homosexuality is in the Bible, period. And God says it's wrong. Now, here's the problem. Mm-hmm. God says the act or the sin is wrong, but that doesn't mean that we just crucify the sinner.
Right.
The same answer for that person in reference to homosexuality is the same answer for a person that's addicted to drugs, alcohol, addicted to gossiping. It's all sin in God's eyes, and we have to remember that. We you know, pedophiles, they can't, you know, what if a pedophile tried to come into this church? The natural response in reference to somebody doing harm to a little child is, yeah, we want to electrocute them. No. But here's the thing about a pedophile. Remember, in God's eyes, that sin is the exact same sin as you lying to your wife or your husband. There's no difference. Right. And so we have to remember that in reference to God's view of sin versus our view of sin. Homosexuality is wrong. I'm going to tell you a story. We had a guy who came to our church when we first started this. He loved our service. He came and asked if he could meet with me that Monday morning after service. I said, sure. He came over Monday morning with a box of donuts, two cups of coffee, so I thought he was a great guy. He was a great guy. He still is a great guy. He comes into my office. He's talking to me about his church experiences. He says he's never found a church that really fits him. And I said, well, what's the problem? He said, well, I'm gay. I said, well, I can see the problem. Finding a church that would support him in the things that he's dealing with. And he said, what about you? What about this church? Am I welcome here? I said, well, I'm not going to kick you out because my idea is your sin, your struggle is no different than my struggle. I might not struggle with homosexuality, but we all struggle with sin. Now, here's the problem. There's a fine line. We can't, we need to love the sinner, but not love the sin. Does that make sense? Is that me? Okay. ADHD, didn't take my medicine this morning. Love the sinner.
Hate the sin.
Hate the sin. So here's the thing. He told me, he's like, you know, I can relate to people that you can't relate to. And I said, you're right, you can. Just like I could relate to drug addicts because I used to be a drug addict. He could relate to homosexuals because he has homosexual tendencies. He wanted to start a small group for the homosexual, you know, and I kind of struggle with that because here's the idea. We don't want to promote the gay banner because we love gay. Yeah, we should love people. We shouldn't classify
Amen.
People as gay, black, yellow, red, white, young, old. We should have a desire to see people change by the power of God. And God can change a homosexual's life. They need to see that what they are struggling with is not something that God wanted for their life. It might be something that they're dealing with because of the consequence of the sin world that we live in, the consequence of the sin that affects us. But they have to acknowledge that is a sin. And if they'll do that and give that to God, then they can have a relationship with God just like any one of us can, and they can struggle with sin, but it might not be the same struggle that we have. So there's a fine line. We can't, you know, I would say every homosexual is welcome to come to Grace Church, and we want every person to be pointed to Christ and to see the plan that he has for their life versus what they've been taught. And so that's the kind of stance that we take here at this church. We don't want to look down at people because, again, we're nobody, like James said. We're all flawed. What was that? We're all funky? Who said that this morning? We're all, Heather, we're all funked out, funky, whatever. So we can't do that. It's natural to do that, but we shouldn't do that. I'm sorry.
No,
homosexuality, I mean, right now it's promoted. Huge. In our generation, it's promoted. We're dealing with things that we've never dealt with before. You know, pastors having to marry men to men, women to women. Is that going to be a requirement? You know, you don't have to right now, but will it be mandatory that that happens? So you can see how Satan uses all this to push against God's overall structure. So, but again, homosexuality, yes, it's a sin. Is it a sin that can be forgiven? Absolutely. There's only one sin that can't be forgiven, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's rejection of Christ. And that's the sin that sends you to hell. That's the only sin that cannot be forgiven. It's your unbelief. So homosexuals are welcome here. We won't sweep it under the carpet. You know, we'll talk about what the Bible says, but we'll do it in a way that's loving, non-judgmental, yeah, and with the idea of hopefully seeing the power of Christ in their life. So
that's good. Yeah, I would just piggyback on top of that and just, you know, just say that the church in general has handled this topic really badly.
Now, does that mean that we put people in leadership that are that's different. I'm not saying right. All that. But as far as, go ahead, I'm sorry, I just cut you off.
No, that's okay. ADHD, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I would just say, you know, the church as a whole has handled this topic badly, insensitive at times. And again, like Pastor Stephen mentioned, we have this human nature, this tendency to put other people's sin as greater than ours. And we really, that's something we really have to fight against on a daily basis. And, you know, we have cults out there like the Westboro people who have gained so much media from hating. On
right.
And just, I don't even call it Bible thumping because it's not Bible. It's not loving your neighbor. But just hating on the groups that struggle with this. So we really need to be on our A game and make a turn in this topic when it comes to us, the church. And I think having this kind of discussion like this is a good thing. Again, this is not something that we see discussed enough in the church. So thank you for whoever was bold enough to bring this question about. And I would just add again, you know, just to say what Pastor Steve already said, that, you know, the struggle with same-sex attraction is real. We can't deny that it's not real. And just as the struggle with greed is real, the struggle with gossip is real, the struggle with lust is real. And we just need to put it all on a level playing field and just give it to the one who can make the change, and that's Jesus.
Hold that. The whole idea, you've heard this, I was born this way.
Right.
And people want to argue, no, you weren't, yes, you were. And here's what I think. You know, we were born into sin.
Yep.
The Bible says that, so why not? Why couldn't a person be born because of the effects of sin, thinking that this is natural, normal? It could be that way. You know, that's fine, because sin affects us. Remember what we talked about last week? While we're still inside, we're still a product of sin.
Right.
But the answer is still the same. And so,
I would say to that a lot of heterosexual males have been born to want to have multiple partners.
Right, right. Let me just tell you.
That doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah, right.
Right.
I'm going to tell you a good story, and this is the way I would deal with it. The house that we're renting right now is the gay guy's house. I shouldn't say gay guy. The guy's house who struggles with homosexual. Here's what happened. Because of the way we responded to this guy, he ended up leaving. He stayed for, I guess, a month, got involved in some small groups, and then just disappeared. I thought, what the heck was that? That's weird. Where'd he go? I couldn't find him. He just upped and vanished. Turns out, you know, he transferred jobs. We were looking for a house because our first house was the money pit, fell apart, got into the apartments, stunk, didn't have any yard. Finally, we were looking for a place to rent after we were up on our lease. Nothing available. Christy happened to go into the classified pages, found this guy renting a house right across the street from the church. I call him. I talk to him, tell him who I am. He said, where are you from? Who are you? I said, I'm Pastor Steve down at Grace Church. I'm trying to find a, you know who I am? It turns out it's the guy. I didn't know it. He said, you know what, man? I'll never forget you. You're the only pastor that I had ever met that told me I was welcome to come back to their church, despite telling you how and what I deal with. And not only am I going to let you rent this house without checking your credit and all that stuff, I'm going to give you $200 off. So we ended up getting this house. So I just thought to myself, you know, yeah, is that coincidence? No, I don't think it's coincidence. I think we gave him truth and love. We didn't spit on him, tell him that he was not welcome here. We did what God called us to do, and because of that, it kind of came full circle. And so that was kind of cool to me. So
that's good.
Cool. Good questions. We're not done yet. We got some more next week.
Yes.
So we think that we got 4 or 5 more weeks of this. I'm ready to start preaching again. This teaching thing is, I don't like posture. I got to sit up like, I'm slouching like this. I'd rather just stand up. But anyway, this is good. Thank you.
That's good. Thank you guys for these questions, by the way.
Let's go ahead and stand and let's have a word of prayer. Guys, please, if you have any other questions that you, maybe you're here and you didn't get a chance to throw one in, it's still back there. Throw one in if you want to. But let's go ahead and let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray that God would use us in the factor of sin, whether we're holding on to sin, whether it's maybe we should overlook somebody else's sin in order to reach them for Christ. I don't know what it might be, but I hope this message was beneficial for you.